الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى فمن يرد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala created two systems in this life. For the one system, the forerunners are the Anbiya alayhi salam. Thereafter, Sahaba ikram, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, and the righteous. And this will continue in every era of human life. And then the second system that has been created, the forerunners are shaitan, he is following kuffar and their friends. And both are distinct. قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Path of righteousness is clear. The path of evil is also clear. Then Allah Ta'ala has created man at three different levels. The first level is when man follows his natural instinct. That is, he's in infancy. As a little child, 1 year, 2 years of age, whatever comes to his mind, he just does it. He wants to hit someone, he will hit. He wants to bite someone, he will bite. He wants to eat, he'll eat. Whether it's filth or whether it is pure, he will eat. He can't discriminate. He wants to urinate or defecate, he will just do it wherever he is. He wants to cry and shout, he will do it. He wants to jump, hop, he will do whatever. So this is the entry level of mankind. So at that level, he is more or less like a beast. Beast also will do the same thing. Whatever natural instincts it will follow, defecate, urinate, shout. It sees the pastures greener on the other side, it will jump, it will enjoy itself. In full view of people, if he wants to fulfill some of its natural desires, it will do it, whether it is with its sister, its mother, whatever, it will do it. And if anybody wants to see that, it's come to Spingo, you'll see the monkeys free for all. In the road, public, in quiet, and everything happens. So this is the entry level, human being. And at this level, you are identical to a beast. Then slowly, gradually, Allah Ta'ala allows the person to grow up. خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. He's created for you the faculties, hearing, sight, etc., that you understand things in perspective. So now, at the second level, he's got some understanding. Then at the second level, man is looking at this, the normal person, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. What we are looking at the second level, that there mustn't be any legal implications, or people mustn't hold me in disrepute. You know, my public opinion, what people think about me, my reputation. So he's overwhelmed with reputation. He's overwhelmed with his status in society. He's overcome with his respect, that I mustn't do anything that I lose my respect. My reputation goes. And whatever I'm doing, there mustn't be any type of legal implications. So this happens to everybody, Muslim, non-Muslim, everybody has got the same concern. So now, at this level, I'm overwhelmed with the concern that my reputation must be preserved. So now, here again, man's thinking is deficient, is not complete. Because it is just his intelligence, his understanding, and his understanding takes him to this level that I mustn't lose reputation and I mustn't get caught in any type of legal implication. So now, look at a person at this level. If you see a person at that level, it's your child and he's in drugs, then you will shout him, you will correct him, you will threaten him, you will do everything. You are sitting with this company. No, Abba, I'm just sitting there. Don't be judgmental, you know. I'm just sitting for the fun of it, just hearing some stories here and there. So the normal parent is not prepared to listen to any story. I don't want you to be sitting in that company. That's my law, that's my rule. If you want to be with me, you aren't going to be there. But now, the same person, this same youngster, he sits in the company of bank directors, etc., FNB, whatever. Now the father will take it as a reputation, respect. My son, he goes to, sits with bank managers, with directors of the bank. He sits, they come and consult with him. My son, what reputation he's got. But now, if you look at it from a different perspective, this is haram, that is haram. This is revolving around riba and haram. And this is also haram. In fact, the riba, the warnings about the riba is much more severe. 36 times zina, incest with an own mother, etc., etc. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ riba, and فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ, that if you don't desist, then Allah Ta'ala is challenging you with war, right? But the normal person takes this as respectful and this thing as disgusting. But I want to know, is there any difference? This is haram, this is haram. Perhaps this is at a lighter level or lesser level, and this is worse level. The only difference is what the public will talk about, what people will say. Allah, who cares? So then, at this level, there is multiple gods. Because one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is what the public have to say. So, in your sight, is not just the concern of Allah ta'ala, and how Allah ta'ala will watch you, but it's also concerned that how will people view you. So, you are overwhelmed with the concern of your reputation. So, this is the second level. So this level also has got its flaws. One person, it happened in the past, and it happened recently as well. I do think sometimes when I read these kitabs, that I think sometimes perhaps this type of things may have happened in the past, never to be repeated. But now you see this type of things repeating. So one person used to swear his father, shout at him, hit him, insult him. So someone advised him, by your father, respect him, what's wrong with you? Show love, kindness, etc. Why are you treating your father in this way? So he says, you see what? It's my father's fault. For his pleasure, I am the result of his pleasure. The 20 minutes of pleasure he had, so I was the product of his pleasure. Now, because of his pleasure, now I have to go through all the challenges and the difficulties of life. I have to sustain my income, medical bills, all the difficulties I have to go through just because of his pleasure. So, didn't he make a zulm on me? He made a great zulm upon me, but because of his pleasure, I have to face all the consequences. So now, you see the zulm that he's done upon me. Therefore, me, I'll never get married. I will not let anybody suffer. Now, this is at the level of brains. This is your brains, you're going by that level. And here, every person employs his own reasoning, his own brains. And unfortunately, everybody feels that I'm right. Nobody feels that I'm wrong. I'm right. Mufti Taqi Sahib says that in Los Angeles some years ago, there was a big, massive protest. Protest from the woman in the escort agency, right? Loose woman. So, the government had placed certain laws against them that you can't practice like this, some many years ago. So, they cried that this is our democratic right. And the government is making zulm upon us. They're doing zulm upon us. See, it's our democratic right. It's our earning, our livelihood. And they're stopping us. See. So everybody employs his own reasoning, his own understanding. Whichever direction his understanding and reasoning takes him, he goes with it. And whatever you would tell him, he'll still feel that what he's doing is right. You can't disprove him. See. So this is the second level, and it's got its flaws. One person, Allah Ta'ala forbid, used to sleep with his own mother. This is real. I've seen some reliable, reputable kitabs. So they asked him, what is this behavior all about? He says, what's wrong? You see, once upon a time, I was entirely in my mother's stomach. Now just my one organ is inside, so what's wrong? So this is at the level of brains, intelligence, and where the intelligence can throw you. See? Intelligence, so this LG, whatever else, right? That's intelligence. And intelligence can take you to any end. Now you get the third level. The third level, he's got natural instincts, he's got brains, and he's got the concern, the consciousness, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. See this zikr, etc., conducted, right? Is to create that consciousness, that awareness. And that awareness mustn't be restricted to time and place. So at any given time, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ أَن تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَى. At any given time, I am in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is some enjoyment, there is some meaning to life. Without this, there is no meaning to life. You see, everything that we do got a meaning, it's got a goal. And when it's got a goal, you're striving towards it. A person will go to university, take up a career, right? Some profession. He's got a goal before him. That you see, I take this up and I can see a lot of wealth in this. Now say, for example, he's got the degree, the career, etc., became a doctor, but he knows he's not going to get anything out of it. No money is going to come. Do you think he will employ his energies, his brains, his acumen to achieve these type of degrees? Will he do it? No. He's got a goal before him. I got this goal and I need to get there because I know what will come out of it. Beyond that, what I will get, I know about it. So this is the thing that drives him. It motivates him. I must get this. So that's human, right? There must be something that's motivating him, driving him, to make him spirited, right? I'm going to take part in the marathon, and at the end of the race, I can see gold medals, I can see publicity, I can see the whole TV crew will be there, the whole world will be talking about me. So something is motivating the person. I can see what's this. And at that time, if the person is breaking the world record, see, he's just 200 meters from the winning line, right? And you can see that the next person that's behind him is about 300 meters behind him. Now he wants to break the world record. Now at that time, if someone tells him, hey, relax, enjoy yourself, don't stress, you must relax, relax in life. He will consider the person to be his worst enemy. I'm going to break the world record. I know what's behind it. The publicity, the wealth, big conglomerates will buy me off and I'll be settled for life. He can see the reward, the return behind it. And that thing will motivate him. It will push him. Go for it. So at this third level, he's got the natural instinct, and Islam will not tell him not to use the natural instinct. All Islam will tell him, use it, but use it correctly. You got feelings, and nobody stops you from using those natural instincts. Use it, but use it correctly, correct time, correct place, and correct way. That's what Islam will tell him. It will give him guidelines. And that guidelines, if they are followed, then there is pleasure, there is happiness, there is peace. And if these guidelines are not followed, then there's problems all over these problems. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib says in one place that most of human problems is either because of lust and temptation, wrong type of doing it in the wrong ways, or wealth. Last week I had a case. So one person pulled out a gun for his girlfriend, right by his mouth. So I had to counsel the person. So I said, but what happened? I said, no, it's my girlfriend. Someone else is trying to interfere. She's falling for him. How could she do something? I said, who's she? Oh, she's a married woman. Married woman, you fall in love and you don't want the third person to fall in love with her. Where's your brains? But you see that lust, and how it drives you. And for that moment you go blind, you can't think, all brains go off. But now that lust is fulfilled sometime in a glorious way. See, sometimes it's done in a very raw, uncivilized manner, and sometimes it's glorified. See, I was reading an article, that like we save our eyes, we need to save our ears as well. Sometimes we think just protecting the eyes is sufficient. What about protecting the ears? See, a movie, right? Generally, the normal movie, two types of themes it must have. Any movie will have two themes. Right? Either something about romance, right? Somehow or the other, some romance. And the thing that will make it thrilling would be the suspense. Romance, but with suspense. What happened then? And then it's made so colorful and so real that the person thinks, hey, it's real. One Jamaat came here from America, So it was a new Muslim. So he tells me, in the old days, I used to go to the movies, And they were showing Leila Majnoon. He's telling me a story. And he says the whole cinema hall was in tears. The whole cinema hall was in tears. Number two, he says, so many women committed suicide. American, and they committed suicide. But now we think it doesn't work on you. It works. What you see and what you're hearing is going to work on you. But it's got, that movie has got two type of themes. One is romance and illicit. And one is crime. But then it is structured. And it's given a glorified picture. Romance also glorified. Crime also very, very glorified. So the normal person that watches all this, after some times, he begins to feel that this is natural behavior, normal human behavior. So taking up a fiancé is not a problem. Premarital relationship is not a problem. So long as you engage, everything's happened. So all that is respectful, dignified. Now, watching all these things here, that thing makes up your mind, and you have a culture of your own. And you don't even realize that I've fallen into a culture. And sometimes, Allah Pak forgive, even some students that are learning kitabs. You know, you go and learn, listen to their personal lives. You know, they're coming. Yeah, but no, Mullah, if I don't do it, they'll think, you know, what a bitter person. What a hard person you are. You know, there's no such a thing like consideration in you. Now, you see, a person gets swept with a culture with such speed that he doesn't remember. He can't understand what's going on. See what happens. So at this level here, man has got the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. So he's got instinct. We say no, that instinct is right, but use it in the right way. Right time, right place, right way. Brains also use it, and use it at the right time, right way, and the right place. Use it. That Allah Pak has given, whatever he's given, has to be used, and has to be used correctly. The problem is when these type of gifts of Allah Ta'ala are abused or misused. That's the problem. Otherwise, it's a gift of Allah Ta'ala. When it's a gift of Allah Ta'ala, the man putting the luqma into his wife's mouth, it may seem to be a lustful work, but he's getting sadaqah sawab. He's doing it. He's doing it the right way, at the right time, the right place. He's doing it. And he's getting a sadaqah sawab. Imagine. He's intimate. He's getting sawab for that. He's doing it the right way. Intimate. Outwardly, it would seem like animal behavior. But because he's doing it the right way, the right time, the right place, he's doing it, then this is sawab for him. Similarly, he's using his brains, and he's using his brains correctly, understanding things, right? And he's doing things properly, correctly. For that also, he's getting rewarded. In Bukhari Sharif, there is a hadith. Alright, the Muslim is advising, encouraging sadaqah. Man says, I got nothing. He says, no, tasna' li akhra. Person is not skilled, he doesn't know it so well. Right? Then you do something for him, help him out. Now, you go and it's 5 years ago, 5 years ago something, so one woman wrote in the email, you know, that I made a recipe book, one of its kind, you know. But someone bought that thing and they sent it viral. You know, they lost all their business. All my business I lost. So I wrote up back to that auntie, said, hey, make shukar. So many people will benefit. Ramzan time, they'll remember you. They're eating samosa or half moon or whatever, full moon. They're eating something and they'll remember you. So you become commercialized. Anything must have a commercial value, commercial value. And then the woman will have a qasam recipe. Qasam recipe is nice. You don't show that recipe to anybody. Take qasam. See, everything becomes commercialized. And when we are looking on the other end, then everything comes spiritualized. That for this, what's going to be the reward? I'm going to do this, what is going to be the returns like? I'm going to do this, and how will Allah Ta'ala favor me? So your whole mindset goes different. You understand that there is Allah Ta'ala. You understand this. Kiram and Katibin. You understand there's something on recording, right? Every small or big deed of yours is being recorded. And I have to work towards it. It's just one chance and last chance. I don't get a second chance. So, someone thakulat mawazinu, this morning I was doing this tafsir, so this, some of the points I'll just repeat it. Faman thakulat mawazinu, faulaika humul muflihun. So, we are all working towards one common end. I said at the beginning that man needs to have a goal. For the fulfillment of life, you definitely have to have a goal. And life becomes very, very difficult, monotonous, stressful, right? You overcome with anxiety. Why? There is no goal. And if there is a goal, the goal is just material, then material can't bring you that satisfaction, it can't give you that fulfillment. Right? So there must be something beyond materialism to bring about that satisfaction. See, the way Allah has created man, that you do the things in the right way, it brings you the right satisfaction. Right? Some things are meant for the delight of your eye. Right? So if you watch the thing, you feel very nice. But if you take that same object and put it by your ear, it will bring you that comfort. It's meant for the eye. When it's meant for the eye, and you bring it before the eye, it brings you happiness. You saw a nice tree or a stream or something, so it brought you a lot of delight, right? Something is meant for the ear. So if you put it near the ear, then it will give you the delight. Some Qari Sahib is reading Quran Sharif or something like that. So you use it correctly, it will bring you that type of delight. So this is where materialism stops. Now, from that point onwards, now, when a man is matured, إِذَا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَبَلَغَ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً, when he's now mentally mature, then he understands that there is a higher level of life. There's something else beyond this life. Before that, he was kidding around, playing around, soccer, rugby, etc. But now with maturity, he's thinking, you know, there's something, some other meaning to life. Now, what is it? Right? So, the Quran speaks about the scales on the day of Qiyamah. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَ إِذَيْنِ الْحَقِّ. The scale of deeds on the day of Qiyamah is a reality. It's not an illusion, it's not an imagination. It's a reality. It's going to happen. Now, how are the scales going to be and how are the deeds going to be? That is not your business. It's going to be taking place. It's going to take place. Right? Like, for example, someone has to appear in court, right? And in the old days, when we were young, till about 70s, there was hanging or electrocution, right? Now, if someone tries to find out, how does the electrocution take place? And they hang you, how the rope, you know, how thick it is, how will it come into my rope, onto my neck, and how will it choke, you know. And he wants to know, alright, you know, and the courtroom, what happens there, what brick, have they used coral brick, what brick have they used there, what type of lights there, and the judge, you know, what type of uniform he wears, how he sits. I say, bhai, bekar baate na karo. You at least appeal, try. Perhaps you make an application and they will give you some bail, they will give you some respite. But now you're talking of things that are not related. You ask about things that are related, that you know you're going to face the court, right? So what's going to drop the sentence or give me a lighter sentence? You know, I can come out of this. So that is going to be your primary concern. Lekin jo faltu kisam ka aadmi hota hai, person is wasting his time, he's going to ask all these type of unrelated things. So what is the scale like, and how will it be, and are the deeds tangible, not tangible, etc., right? So this type of questions came about at a time when books on philosophy were translated into Arabic and became available. Now, they want to prove everything with the blessings of philosophy. Now, if it's not coming under the scrutiny of philosophy, then they're rejecting some truth, Islamic truths. Now, that's stupidity. You can't subject Islam and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to your philosophy. Yes, you will subject philosophy to Islam, to the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to the words of the Quran Sharif. But subjecting your intelligence to the Quran, to the Hadith, etc., that is not on. Right until 1920, the scientists believed that the earth is eternal, right? 1920. After 1920, they discovered, no, there's expansion. Now then they came up with another theory, no, there's a Big Bang theory. Now I don't know after another 20 years what will happen. Or the theory going to change again. See? Now if you're subjecting it to science, and the science theory has to change, then your belief in the Quran, what will happen to the belief? Your belief is going to be shaken. So you can't subject the Quran Sharif to science. It's the other way, alright. You squeeze science and all that to fit into the Quran, it's alright, no problem. But you're squeezing the Quran to fit into science, really, it's not on. So, and certain things are obvious, you can see it. Some things you can't give a logical explanation. There was one specialist, so he's a little bit friendly with me. His wife was about passing away. He asked me to come offer condolence, etc. I mean, now, some of these people, their faith is, the iman is not right. The beliefs are all shaken up. You can see it from when they talk and all that. They don't have the sound belief. They may have a little bit of science, etc. But the sound belief, sound belief, they don't have it. And many a times, a simple person's belief is very sound. unshakable. You know, if on Zulu, he did the imamat course by us, and then he's doing imamat, full van somewhere. So he went to give azan and do the namaz fajr, and he was held up, he took away his phone and all that, at gunpoint. So Mulana went to offer condolence, give some encouragement. So, no, at least fajr namaz, stay at home, you know. It's a dangerous time. Now, spontaneously, I like to see that spontaneous, you know, when it's after some encouragement or something, someone will say something. Well, now this person is not too literate, he knows a little bit whatever we taught him. But his beliefs are too sound, too great. And I was really, really impressed. New Muslim, Zulu speaking, doing the azan and namaz. So when we asked him, sit down, relax, he says, hey, what's better if I'm killed going for namaz? I'll be shaheed. Now, a new Muslim, and when he catches on to Islam, and with such conviction in the word of Rasulullah, really, it touches your heart. So, certain things you see with your own eyes. See, Allah speaks about life, right? Life on earth. خَلَقَكُمْ مِن نُطْفَةٍ, from a drop. Then that thing is transformed into a clot, then a lump of flesh, and then فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Can you give a logical explanation of the transformation, one after the other, one after the other? You will have to say that there is a creator. نَحْنُ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ فَلَوْلَا تُصَدِّقُونَ. We made you. Why don't you believe? Why do you allow your belief and your articles of faith to be contaminated? Well, a lot of things, you know, people will talk about scientific research, etc. Let them carry on. But that science mustn't encroach into Islamic beliefs. Leave them on one side. It mustn't encroach. Remain on your side. You're learning all that just for some material security. Just leave it like that. So the school is just for material security. Leave it to that point. But don't give it the right to encroach. See, reluctantly I'm saying something. There's a lot of freedom, right? So when there's atmosphere of freedom, the people ask all type of questions. So one person came and asked me now, 3 weeks ago, Pramana, why are you so strict? Why so strict? So I told him, see, let me explain you, right? You need to understand. You got an auto lot, auto car lot, right? Dealership, Mercedes or something, right? So you'll have one person on the road, he's ripping for you, right? So, hey, you come and buy from us, we'll give you this deal, we'll give you that deal, you know, what deals we'll give, you'll never get in the world, 80% discount and all that. And with it, you've got a surface plan, tell you all about the Mercedes, right? So that's the person that's on the road, he'll give a lot of encouragement. Now it's a big plant, 1 kilometer, right? So big plant it is. So at the plant, they'll have checks and balances, they'll have security, they'll have guards, they'll have accountants, right? I ask you, if this dealership doesn't have the checks and balances, security, guards, all these things here, iska kya hoga, what will happen? One day, everything will get wiped out. Everything will be wiped out. So, the Quran Sharif speaks about Amiruna bil Ma'ruf. So one is encouraging the good. And then at the end, Wal Hafizuna li Hududillah. And then you get a different jamaat of person that must look at the parameters of deen. So one is doing an encouraging work, right? Tabligh jamaat is doing encouraging work, like go and encourage. But now, this only encouragement, and nobody is looking at the parameters of deen, what's going to happen to deen? Having an encouraging attitude, right? Someone is talking about LG, someone has an encouraging attitude. So what's going to happen to deen? I ask you, will that face of deen be disfigured or not? Because everybody is giving his 2 cents, do this. So will that Islam, the picture of Islam, will it be distorted? Will it be disfigured or not? It's going to be disfigured. So Allah Pak is speaking about this group, who's like confirmed their place in Jannah, right? وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ They also trying their best to protect the parameters, the limits of deen. And when we talk about limits and parameters, then I ask you, right? You also worried about your limits, right? Right? You also worried about your parameters. You got a yard, right? And forget anything else. If the hearse comes and tells you, Mula, you're not able to park my purse here for only 2 weeks, I'm going for Umrah, I'll come and take it. You lie. Don't encroach. What do you say? Don't encroach. You need a good work, but go somewhere else. What do you tell him that much? This man says, hey, you got a big yard there, man. You know, I got a horse and trailer. You got a big yard, nothing happening there. I'll just park it there. Will you allow that? Why? My parameter, my yard, don't encroach. And if it's your own house, and someone came from the jundol, from the shacks, they say, you got 5 rooms there. You're only using 2 rooms. Let me use the other 3 rooms. Allowed. You allow it. Why? My parameters is my respect. It's my integrity. Don't encroach. If your integrity means so much to you, then I ask you, deen doesn't have an integrity. Allah Ta'ala doesn't have an integrity that any person and every person can give his 2 cents into deen. I say, yeah? Is it a point to be concerned about or not concerned? If I am wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But this is my concern. وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ Allah Ta'ala is saying, they guard the limits of Allah Ta'ala. So these people that are guarding, they will see you properly. You coming into the dealership, they're scanning you, they're checking you up, right? They're checking your car. Going to a hospital, they're checking everything. The trunk, the booth. What are you doing? What you came in with? What you leaving? So they're going to check you up properly. Otherwise, one day's time, everything will get wiped out. There's no checks and balances. There's no security. There's no guards. There's no patrols. What's going to happen? So, we're speaking about فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ See, there are certain things that we recognize. We recognize those things, but we don't give it a place in our minds. We know that there's no science can give an explanation, right? I asked the youngsters, I asked them, schooling and university, I asked them, alright. We all say that the water vapor rises, right? Clouds, formation, condensation, all that, right? And then falls, right? It's rain. Now I ask you one simple question. Most of the water is from the sea or from the land. You will agree with me if I tell you, most of the water is from the sea, right? Some water from lakes, etc., is coming up in the form of vapor, rising up, going at a certain level, and then it comes down. But I ask you a simple question, that saline content, who's removing it and making that water pure, azbun, furatun, sa'ihun, sharabu, who's doing it? Yakiski kudrat ka karashmaya. Whose beauty is this? It's a beauty of the work of Allah Ta'ala, handiwork of Allah Ta'ala. The saline is totally removed. It's sweet water. You can't find a water like the rainwater, right? Then again, look at that water again, right? For the second time. I got all type of friends, professional, not professional, farmers, all types. So, I just wanted to know from the person, فَيُحْيِي بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا We send down the water from the skies, and that gives life to the earth. So I just asked that farmer now, so what's the difference between your irrigation, you irrigating the plants, and the rainwater? He said, don't talk. Zameen asman ka farq hai. That natural, what Allah Pak sends, that thing changes the whole face of the earth. All life just comes up, springs up. How it happens, I don't know. But it just springs up. So Allah Ta'ala has put so much of nutrients in that water that thing just livens it up. Now, can you explain now where that nutrients came from? How it came in proportion, came to your land so much, and that light, it just took off. How it? Don't we see these things here? Don't we see the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? So we understand that there is something beyond human comprehension. Look at the rotation of the sun, right? Look at the rotation of the sun. Thousands of years or millions of years it's rotating, right? Then he's got a height, right? He's got a speed, he's got a slant, right? And for the thousands of years that it's in operation, do you find any inconsistency? مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوُدٍ. Look at the sky again, look at the sun, all the heavenly bodies. Any inconsistency? I tell you, one day, in 1,000 years, have you found the sun rising 5 seconds later? Or 5 seconds earlier? Did you ever see that? Did you ever see the sun going out of its orbit? Right? For the thousands of years it's going, but ever out of its orbit. Did you ever see that it's changing its speed? As though Allah has commanded it, right? Oh sun, you're going to rise over Durban at this time, at sunrise. At this time of the year, sunrise, that you're going to be rising in Durban at this time. Moving on to Johannesburg, you will be rising at 15 minutes later. Then moving on to Cape Town, then 45 minutes later. Now, do you ever see a change in the plan of Allah Ta'ala? Exactly, precise, to the second. Any changes you find. Now, whose work is this? Did ever the sun say, you know, all you guys are taking a holiday, going to the beach and Bergs and everywhere else, going to Turkey, all everywhere. I must also relax. I must go to the beach and cool off also. Did you ever hear that? It's going and it's so perfect, precise. لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. They're all signs for us to reflect over the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. Therefore the Mufassirin say, a few moments of reflection over the Qudrat, the grandeur, the greatness of Allah Ta'ala is greater than your ibadat of certain times. One night of ibadat, and few moments you think of the grandeur, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think, see the creation, and admire, understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recognize Him. Let your heart be overwhelmed with Allah ta'ala, then wealth, etc. So we're talking about the scales of the day of Qiyamah. But I had to bring this point, just for you, you know, the ground, you can only sow the seeds if the ground is worked upon. If it's hard, and you didn't soften the soil, right, and you sowed the seeds, will you get anything coming out? So you have to prepare that thing first, then sow the seeds. So now, what's to be seen is, what is weightiest on the scales on the day of Qiyamah. So I'll just share about four or five hadiths to show you, alright, what is about the weightiest thing. So people are talking, you know, the courtroom like this and that, right, we'll give an example, right. But the one person is brilliant, he's smart. So now I must see now what will work, what will make the thing work. I must get to know the magistrate or the court or the judge. And what will make, you know, what steps I must take? He's working towards it. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala willing, something good will come out of it. Because he's working in the right direction. So exactly the same, when I know that there is a thing like this, there are scales that's going to take on the deeds. Right? So, one is how it's going to happen, right? They give different explanations. The popular explanation is that, see, what we do here takes a form in the next realm. This is one realm, and there's a realm beyond this. So those things that are not tangible here become tangible objects that side. Here we do something, right? Whether it is mental, like iman, good values, akhlaq, etc. It's all mental, right? In the mind or in the heart. Or the second type of action that we do is verbal, tasbih, Quran Sharif, etc. The third type of actions that we do is physical, namaz, etc. Right? But these things, you can't capture it and preserve it. Can you capture it? You did it and it's disappeared, gone. But in the next realm, it takes a form. It takes a form. Good deeds. What happens to the good deeds? These good deeds, they take a form of a beautiful person. What a beautiful fragrance, so beautiful. Azizji Rahmatullah was explaining once that they went to bury one cousin of theirs. And the person that was in the grave, he said, you know, if I was not afraid of people around, I would have lied down with him. So why? You know what fragrance I got there? The fragrance that was coming out was too much, it's too captivating. I couldn't resist. I just wanted to sleep with him. You see, so that realm is a different realm. And فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. Allah Pak will remove those veils and you'll begin to see things. So it becomes into the form of a beautiful person, beautiful fragrance to come and give you the comfort. Said, "Hum yahan par hai. Nahnu awliyaukum. We are your friends to comfort you." Right? But by the same token, evil deeds are like serpents, snakes, scorpions biting you. Right? So now, we want to share you just about 3-4 hadiths of what will bring about the weight on the scales on the day of Qiyam. Right? So the weightiest thing is the kalima la ilaha illallah said with a total ikhlas, purity of heart. Not that I do and Allah Ta'ala also does. No. Allah Ta'ala, that pure, clean. Don't adulterate, don't contaminate. Absolute pure. A lot of hadith, I don't want to go into the length of the hadith, just to show you what will bring about the debate. And nobody can complain about time. I had to give one talk in Maritzburg some times back. So I told the person, see, you can't complain about time. You're going to work, coming to masjid, right? Going home. So tell your friends, see, I don't mean to be rude, but I've got a routine. When I'm in the car, I make some zikr. To work, to the masjid, and home. So I saw the person 2 years later. He said, "Mona, from that day till now, every day I make about 2,000 la ilaha illallah." He found the time. 2,000 la ilaha illallah. Just a small adjustment, but you can do it. You can't say I can't do it. Do it with the ikhlas, with sincerity, and see what happens. After every 5-6 times, you say, "Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Then the second thing that's weightiest is good mannerisms. Good mannerisms is not that, is not just pleasing people, but at the same time you're pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Person that is taking interest, says, "I'm not hurting anybody. See, I'm such a person with such akhlaq." Why? But you're breaking the law of Allah ta'ala. So at the same time that you are not hurting anybody, you're not hurting the law of Allah ta'ala as well. If you are not hurting anybody, you're not hurting the law of Allah ta'ala as well. Then you call it akhlaq. Otherwise, it's half a job. So akhlaq is simultaneous, not hurting anybody physically, verbally, etc., but not damaging the law of Allah ta'ala simultaneously. Then you say you're not hurting. Person coming to your work, right? So he's got a lot of akhlaq, but he's not doing the work. He's not doing the work right. He's doing it wrong. So will you overlook him because of his akhlaq? No. You're damaging the work here. So similarly, you don't damage the law of Allah ta'ala. The third thing that is very weighty on the scales is silence. That you don't talk unnecessarily. Unnecessarily don't talk. If there's a genuine need, deen or dunya, you talk. Good akhlaq, I said, also in good akhlaq, this morning one person had a fight with someone else. So he said, "No, I got some reservations and doubts about him." So I said, "Why?" So he said, "The reason." I said, "But you looked at it from one perspective. Just, it's a possibility, right? A possibility is not a conviction. Right? And because of the possibility, therefore you got a hatred for him. Now if Allah Pak asks you on the day of Qiyamah, ishtanibu kathiram minazzan, guard yourself against suspicion, will you have any proper sound reason? Will you have anything? He's asking you to avoid this. It's a possibility, right? But is it a fact? Right? It's not a factual thing, it's a possibility, but the possibility you made into a fact. So therefore you kept a distance from that person. I ask you, if Allah Pak asks you, ishtanibu kathiram minazzan, avoid much suspicion, will you have any answer? So you don't have that, then your akhlaq is not right. So your akhlaq will require that you have a pure heart. Yes, if you've got a genuine reason, factual reason, that you're avoiding the person, it's a different thing. His beliefs are corrupt. But Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he heard that that person is a qadriya. He doesn't believe in taqdeer. He says, "I don't want to hear him. I don't want to take salam from him." Because he doesn't believe in taqdeer. His beliefs are corrupt. So our understanding of akhlaq is different now. It portrays such an image that everybody, you are sweet and attractive to everybody, whether it's right or wrong. So that's not the meaning of akhlaq. Otherwise, that means sahaba kiram didn't know what is akhlaq. So he's saying, "I don't want to listen to you. I don't want to have anything to do. La tujalisu ahl al qadr, wala tufatihuhum. Don't even go in the janazah. Why? So at a certain point, you have to keep away, right? Like I said, that person that is drugging, So you'll ask your child not to be around him. So can you say now, hey, this person he has a holier than thou attitude. Can you say that? The father knows, but this is not right. What's going to happen to this child of mine? He knows, but it's just stay away. So we can see the physical harms, and Allah Pak and His Rasul Sam sees the spiritual harms. Third thing, right? The fourth thing that's weight is on the scales. Rasul Pak Sam, the Jibreel Sam came to Rasul Pak Sam, and around there was a person crying. So Jibreel Sam explained, see, everything else can go onto the scale. But this tear for the fear and the love of Allah Ta'ala, that the scales also cannot manage. Because one drop of tear, one drop, right? One drop extinguishes the whole fire of Jahannam. It's one drop. It's so power-packed. See, we, in this life, we only relate to material things, right? But just give you an example that this material things come to an abrupt end, right? Now imagine someone's janazah is here, right? Janazah is here, and you got stacks of gold, silver, planes, and whatever else. I ask you, does it mean anything to the person now? Any value? So that material thing has a value in this life only. Beyond this life, absolutely nothing. So exactly the same, in that life, the material has no value. See, you start off that life, then this material that we're talking about has no value on that end. So, that you secure on that end, do something, right? So to round it up, two things you need to do to secure that, right? So the word of the Quran, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. The best provision for the road is restrain. Hold yourself. Guard yourself. Take care. Take care from what? Anything that may displease Allah Ta'ala. Displease Allah Ta'ala, it may cause His displeasure, but you restrain yourself. Small thing, big thing, mental, physical, verbal, but you know it can amount to the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, just restrain. Right? And the second thing is, Shaitan said, La tajidu aktharahum shakirin. Be grateful to Allah Ta'ala, to people, to Allah Ta'ala, wives, children, etc. Be grateful. Have a heart to be always pleased with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Sometimes what happens is, we cannot see beyond our nose. We see some small tragedy, we say, hey, why is this thing happened to me? I incurred such a loss. But you don't realize sometimes that the tragedy will bring better for you, better results than the fortune that you were dreaming about. You want to get married to someone, right? It's a real example to give that and finish the story now. You want to get married to someone, right? And it happened that you didn't marry. A man was complaining, doctor is complaining to me, you know, I want to marry, I told this person, that person didn't work out for me. That was all, what, 40, 44 years ago. Now after 41 years ago, now you see things, right? Children coming up, everything else. That woman that he was wanting to marry, and now the way he got married, now he's like, hey, that woman was sickly, children are sickly. Now I asked him, Dr. Saab, you want the swap? He said, no. Why? It was my naivety. I couldn't see at the time. So just be pleased with Allah Ta'ala. Things will unravel in each time. Make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for whatever, little or lot. Look at the person that is underprivileged. Make shukr, be pleased with Allah Ta'ala. Therefore the hadith says, you say, Raditu billahi rabba. Bil-Islami deena wa bi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Rasulah. Allah will take it on himself to see that he pleases you. You please with him, then it is Allah Ta'ala's grandeur that you are being pleased with me. Then mustn't I declare my pleasure for you? Do it in the morning, do it in the evening. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salamu ala Rasulil Kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين